This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Duke Energy now says there are 8 more metal pipes surrounding coal ash ponds in North Carolina. This after the electric company had said the Dan River pipes were the only ones made of the weaker metal. The State Department of Energy and Natural Resources released a statement confirming the additional corrugated metal pipes at coal-fired power plants across the state. Diener has ordered detailed inspections of these sites, and it does so as criticism mounts over emails showing that regulators have been aware for years that some coal-fired power plants in North Carolina did not have required permits to discharge stormwater. WNC reporter Jeff DeBerry has been covering the story and is with us now to give us the latest. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Frank.
Tell us more. Let's start with these 8 other metal pipes. We thought that the only pipes were those in Eden, but I guess there are more, eh? Tell us more.
Indeed. So the first pipe that broke under the coal ash pond in Eden at the coal-fired plant back on February 2nd, that happened. And then in the days following it, myself and many other members of the media asked if there were other pipes going under other coal ash ponds. 4 different Duke representatives told me there were not any other pipes going under coal ash ponds. But yet we found out within a week and a half that there was indeed another metal corrugated pipe going under a coal ash pond at that same very site. We also asked Duke about other metal pipes at its 14 locations around the state. We were told they did not believe they had any other metal pipes. Indeed, now Diener is saying the company does have metal pipes. The one distinction between the pipe that broke, that was a stormwater pipe. It went under the coal ash pond. These are discharge pipes. So if you think of a coal ash pond, the idea is that the coal ash, the combustion byproduct, settles at the bottom. And then to control the amount of water that is in the pond or lagoon, these discharge pipes pull water off of the top. They go around the pond, not under it, and then discharge into waterways nearby. So there's no indication that these pipes are corroding one way or another. We don't have information on the strength of these pipes. If there were to be another break, it is worth noting that the pipes run alongside, not underneath. So it is likely that if there were an issue, it would not be as much of a discharge, as much of a spill as what we saw in Eden.
Still, Diener just found out about this. Duke Energy let them know, and apparently that has triggered an investigation and inspections of these other sites. Diener spokesman Jamie Kreitzer, let's listen.
We're going to be looking at if there are corrosion issues going on with some of these corrugated metal pipes, or whether there are leaks that could be, could become problems down the road.
All right. So
one quick note.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me just jump in quickly. One quick note. Jamie Kreitzer told me yesterday that Diener was aware of these pipes. Diener provided permits for these pipes in years past. Couldn't tell me precisely when, but these pipes are not brand new news to Diener.
They've just released the news to us, and it has taken 31 days for Diener to ask for this emergency action in these inspections. How have they explained that?
Diener says that this has been a major undertaking. This has been something that its agency has been working on around the clock, working to control the spill and continue to do water sampling and water testing and just deal with all the different components of this. Environmentalists and others have pointed out that seems like Diener's stretching it, so to speak. They say Duke was in charge of filling this pipe and ending the spill, and that the issues that Diener is now addressing are things that environmentalists have been talking about for years, and that this has been, in their words, a very slow reaction, and not much has come of it thus far.
So the coal ash gushed into the Dan River. The news has been leaking out very, very slowly, one detail at a time. How has Duke responded to Diener's request?
Duke initially was, I guess I would describe it as out in front of this thing. They had more of a public presence. They said that they were doing everything they could to end the spill and fill this pipe with, just cut this pipe off so that no more coal ash was leaking into the Dan River. And over the past couple of weeks, we've seen much less we've heard much less from Duke. It could partially because of this federal criminal investigation. They have said more often than not recently that they will respond to the state directly as this moves forward.
All right. All of this comes as we receive news that emails have been released that suggest that Duke has been in some ways getting away with the discharge of stormwater runoff without permits for quite some time, and these emails go all the way back to the Purdue administration. Tell us about that.
So some of the takeaways from these emails are almost 400 pages of them. I've looked through a lot of it, but I am no expert on these 400 pages of emails. Diener had concerns and questions, and engineers wanted to do more permitting from a wastewater standpoint, from a stormwater standpoint. There were questions about whether or not permits should be rolled together. And engineers said they did some testing, the state did some testing, and found mercury and bromide at two different coal ash fire, coal-fired power plant locations, not the one in Eden where the spill took place. An excerpt from one of the emails that is perhaps worth sharing is from a Diener employee, an engineer who wrote to a supervisor, "Over the last year and a half, we have repeatedly asked for a status and direction of these," referring to the permits, "and we have been given none. I asked to move forward on noticing the draft permit for one particular plant. That did not burn coal and had significantly fewer parameters to monitor, and we were told to hold off. That one is sitting undone as well." And then this employee says in the next paragraph of her email, "We stopped asking." So it was something they were trying to follow up with Duke on, and they eventually, at some point, some of the Diener employees stopped pushing, stopped asking. The flip side of that, within these email exchanges, something that comes from George Everett, who's an environmental and legislative director from Duke. He wrote in an email 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago, after the mercury and bromide runoff samples were found in tests, he pushed back in an email saying, why would we agree to obtain or apply for stormwater permits if we don't have similar requirements in South Carolina or the Midwest? Why would we do this when we're looking for a kinder, gentler regulatory framework, according to the governor? And again, that's Governor Perdue. And he also asks in an email, why would we do this? Why would we obtain these permits if there are not federal mandates? So Duke certainly pushed back. That's one of the things we learned from these emails.
Do we know if there – but we're talking about a state regulations that were in place.
So ultimately what this boils down to is a lot of this goes back to the Clean Water Act. And under the Clean Water Act, companies are allowed to discharge into waterways. There are a number of factors that are considered, what is already in the water, the total maximum allowance of what companies or utilities or whatever can dump into the water. So in theory, Duke or other companies can get permission to do this and do this in small amounts. And what the Clean Water Act does in many instances is it allows the state to police or govern or issue permits on, yes, you can do this wastewater or this stormwater, and this is how much of it is permitted.
So the state was trying to enforce the parameters that it set up in this case, and there are exchanges going back and forth, but ultimately no permits. And that's some of the fallout from this.
Correct.
We got these letters by way of the Southern Environmental Law Center that got these by way of a Freedom of Information request. Tell us about their involvement in this.
Southern Environmental Law Center has filed a number of lawsuits going back several years, stating that Duke has been in violation of the Clean Water Act and the state is not correctly policing, acting as the environmental agency as it should. Some of these lawsuits have led to cleanup in South Carolina. Here, the state, Diener, the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, has stepped in and essentially blocked the lawsuits by the Southern Environmental Law Center. It, Diener, had proposed a settlement with Duke. That settlement moved forward, then it was pulled back. Diener has said, among the many news elements of this whole thing, that it is going to again submit a proposal to a judge within the next month or so. A judge could agree to that settlement. Now, many folks have raised concerns about the proposed settlement between Diener and Duke being way too easy and not mandating any cleanup in this whole coal ash conversation. If a judge were to get that settlement and reject it, it then opens up, again, the federal lawsuit, the one by the Southern Environmental Law Center that was blocked.
All right. Let's hear from their spokesman, the spokesman for the Southern Environmental Law Center, Frank Holloman.
They continue to meet in committees and talk among themselves, but nothing is happening to actually clean up these sites. And I think the most striking thing that is happening is what is not happening.
So Southern Environmental Law Center has been very aggressive. And, of course, now the criticism at the release of, with the release of these emails is that state regulators have been far less aggressive in policing the environment, air and water quality in the state. Well, what's the upshot of this? And you should remind us as well that there is a federal lawsuit with regard to the Dan River, or not a lawsuit, but federal investigation, I should say, with regard to the Dan River spill. Where are we on that?
Sure. And I think that these emails are obviously part of that, because the U.S. attorney, federal prosecutors, are looking into whether or not Diener is doing its job, is taking appropriate action if Clean Water Act violations were, you know, if they took place, if Diener was benefiting in any way illegally from relationships with Duke Energy. So they're looking into that. Subpoenas have gone out to about 20 current and former employees at Diener from the U.S. Attorney's Office, and those subpoenas expire in a couple of weeks. I believe it's the 20th of March. A grand jury will be seated after that, and testimony will begin. At the same time, just kind of glancing forward, the CEO of Duke, Lynn Good, has responded to a letter from the governor, Pat McCrory. McCrory has told his former employer that he would like them to clean up the coal ash ponds by way of removing the coal ash and putting it in lined landfills. Good, the CEO, has said she and Duke are looking at long-term and short-term solutions, and that they will respond to him, to Diener, by March 15th.
All right, we'll stay tuned. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, thanks, Frank.
Jeff DeBerry, WUNC's Greensboro Bureau Chief. Just ahead, WUNC's Dave DeWitt talking about school boards challenging the elimination of teacher tenure. You'll hear about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.